Welcome to the post-pod sift spoil. We are going to talk about all the hanging threads, romances, jokes, Easter eggs, cameos, deaths, resurrections, and post-credit sequences. They all die.
They all die. I was getting there.
You would have gotten there eventually. Eventually. For The Quiet Place, Part 2, spoiler alert, John Krasinski dies. But not in this movie. That was in the first one.
No.
So we're going to talk about the spoilers from this movie. We are also joined, in addition to Alice, who is on the show today, by my brother Drew hanging out with us too. It was one of those.
Hello.
It was one of those situations where, you know, when Andrew couldn't make it, Drew was like, "Hey, I've seen both these movies. Do you want me to pop on the show?" And I was like, "Sure, come on the show." And he was like, "No,
I can't." I messaged that to you while you were most likely asleep.
Probably.
Like, yeah. Hey, I can fill in, you know, be
right.
Other Andrew. And then you messaged me back while I was asleep. And then you messaged me back in the morning and I looked at it and, of course, sleepy Andrew was like, "No, I'm sleeping. I don't want to do it." And then, of course, as soon as you started, I was like, "I want in!"
It was so funny because it was in the private chat that we have. And Drew was like, "Is it too late? Is it too late? I want to talk. I was like, "Yeah, it's too late now. But, you know, we can do the spoilers." So we have him in the spoilers now. And I guess it would make sense then to start with you, Drew. You can start with anything. But, like, you know, what are some of the things? Because we don't even know your general thoughts about the movie. So
just okay.
Okay.
I gave it a just okay. And probably on the lower side of just okay, lower to middle. And the reason being, I'm not a big fan of the first movie either. I 100% acknowledge that they're good movies. They're competent movies. They're well made.
Right.
I don't like suspense to last more than 2 minutes. It starts to it wears me down as a person.
Okay.
And I feel like most of these movies, this one in particular as well, or since we're talking about this one, you can cut out a lot of the middle of these scenes and it's fine. It's perfectly fine. You miss nothing because it's all about building the tension, which is great when that's what the movie's about. But when, for me, it just doesn't work. I don't care that you're walking on a train for no reason. Why walk around the train, young lady? You don't need to get on the train.
She had to get the first aid kit.
Yeah, that she could see was there.
Yeah,
it was on her HUD.
Right.
It was on the HUD.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if you're in a dystopian world, you'd probably like ravage everything you come across, right? Like resources, man. Has video gaming taught you nothing?
Yeah, video games have taught me that closed and confined spaces with creatures that here. Okay, and then so this goes in the kind of the same thought. These movies expect you to suspend your disbelief on what actually makes sound. Because everything makes sound to the level that they freak out about. You cannot, you know, and I think the first movie did a good job of kind of limiting that a little bit. Like they paint on the floor where you can step. They put down, you know, they put down the sand to try to reduce. Like they did a lot of these things that this movie, I think, kind of skipped because there's no way you're getting on that train without making sound. There's no way you're walking on that train without making sound. There's no way you don't get on and something shifts and makes sound. Like there's a lot of times when I watched the movie for me, and we're talking about things that take you out of it, where that kind of takes me out of it a little bit. Just the whole
sure.
I'm supposed to believe that there's no sound going on right now.
Yeah, I guess my brain always processes that as, like, it depends on where the creatures are, too, and you want to be as quiet as possible, but you still may make sound occasionally, but then you just got to hope there aren't any creatures close enough to hear it. I don't think, like, every sound is heard by every creature within a 300-mile radius or anything.
But it should be heard by us. But the sound mix in this movie.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah,
they mix this movie so that sounds that we would normally hear, we don't hear. But that's neither here nor there. I think you brought up a good thing about the creatures. Well, what do we know about the creatures? And spoilers, what did this tell us about the creatures?
Well, I don't think the first one told us they were alien, did it? I mean, we just knew they were
there
on
was
Earth.
There was a newspaper article that was like, big media from space. And then it was something about like the dark angels or angels of death. So definitely not like outright like, oh, remember when they came from space and then started killing us all? But like, you know, and then they confirmed it in the interviews afterwards. So I think the idea is that you have an idea of that. And then obviously you have the opening scene where you see the big media.
We learn that they attacked in multiple places, right? We learned that it wasn't just one ship. We learned that they have a cool rolly ball move where they, you know, roll and, you know, have armor that they can deflect shots with. But yeah.
They can't swim.
We learned that they can't swim. That's the one thing they can't do. Because with aliens, it's always water. It's always water.
And I was gonna. That's was gonna be one of my things. Was they already have the most blaring of weakness, and that is a pun. That any sound at a certain decibel or rate just makes them inoperable.
I don't think the movie's saying that. I think the movie's saying there's something about that specific frequency that does that, not the volume.
I shouldn't say any sound, but if something's at that frequency, right, then yes. The first movie, it completely kills it. They don't shotgun it or anything after she does it. She slams her head.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, they do.
Do they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you 100% sure? You just watched it, so I have to go with... Because I remember it falling back. I don't remember the shotgun blast.
It falls back when it first hears it after a certain amount of time. But then it gets back up. Like, it's not dead. Oh. It's just shocked. And then it gets back up. And then that's when she's like... And that's just with the normal cochlear implant. But then what happens is she, like... That's the moment where she's like, whoa. And you have her, like, look to the microphone and stuff. And then she, like, slams it in. And then that's when when Emily Blunt shoots it.
But yeah, why does every alien that visits a planet that they can see from space is mainly water?
I know.
Why,
it's always
like
it's
how
always
are they always? And this has started since M. Night. Like, it seems like I can't really think of much before M. Night where you have these aliens walking around, then all of a sudden water is their biggest weakness, so swing away. Like, every creature can't handle water anymore.
Maybe Wizard of Oz, you know, witches in aliens.
Right?
It's always about the water.
Maybe we're the only planet with big bodies of water, so we had to learn how to swim.
I don't know.
I think for me, the reason this movie just doesn't make sense for me, that... because I'm trying to explain... I feel like I have to explain why I give it...
No, you're good. You got. Listen, I get it. Like, I was even saying with this movie, there are many things towards the end that could get easily distracted by, you know, your suspension of disbelief or inability to suspend disbelief. Just the fact that the alien makes it to that island, happens to ride
that
boat.
Other aliens have. That's my thing. Is how have no other aliens made it to that island?
Right.
And there's a disconnect because how long the movie. The first movie starts, and I can be corrected if I'm wrong again. It seems like they've been there a while. There isn't just one news article. Even if there was to be one news article, who's getting a newspaper? Who's printing a newspaper?
Yeah,
you know, there's dozens. Like, he's got them plastered everywhere, all the stories. And then its sound is all over it's like how they're figuring it out. Be quiet, you know, says Time magazine. And in this movie, it's like they're there and boom.
Yeah.
It's all heck has broke loose. So like there's somewhat a disconnect for me. So how have there not been these aliens on that island?
I actually had the opposite reaction. My reaction was, oh, so there are lots of humans that are doing just fine. You know, every human on an island is great, is, you know, glorious right now. Like, Hawaii is just still amazing, you know? Like,
Right? As if that's everyone's apocalypse plan, isn't it? Just to go to an island in the middle of nowhere, whether it be zombie, aliens.
You know? And if they weren't smart enough to crash a ship on Australia, you're good too. You know, like, they're never getting to you. So,
that's true.
So
or we
yeah.
can just go to Tasmania, so that's fine.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of had the opposite problem creep into my brain, which was, so I guess it wasn't as big a deal as we thought, because everybody on the islands are fine.
Well, maybe that's why there's so many news articles, is because everywhere else in the world it's just A-okay, they're just flying over, dropping these newspapers in.
That's right.
Yeah. Everybody be quiet.
Shush! Shut up! Just everyone. My big thing in terms of the logic was at the end, right? So, Cillian Murphy very clearly sets up that they can't hear, like the aliens can't hear anything while they're in this like base, because there's like 3 feet of concrete, and then when they're in the furnace, it's like sound can't escape, they're completely fine, right? So it's so well, nothing can get through, it's so well insulated, and yet a radio signal is able to get to like a crappy radio in the furnace at mm-hmm. the end to yeah. like defeat the alien. I was just like, if sound can't make it through, or oxygen, I'm telling you right now, no radio signal is making it to that radio to save them in time. They are dead. This is a hallucination.
In fairness, radio waves do go through things that sound doesn't and air doesn't. But yes, you are right to suspect that it would be difficult to get a signal in there for mm-hmm. sure. There are those moments. There definitely are those moments throughout. I mentioned in the review that I want to talk about some of the tension building that he does so well. Just a couple I'm going to mention. Coming out of the hole of the front of the bus was so incredible. Like, it just, if it weren't enough that they did that, you know, brake, drive backwards thing that is mm-hmm. actually kind of ridiculous, but kind of fun to watch.
yeah.
That just starts coming almost like a spider crawling out of a hole, you know, because they've got those long arms. I loved that. I will always love in this universe when it's the hearing impaired character who we know can't hear them coming, but we can see them coming. Like, that always gets me in these movies. I think that's really cool. I think that happened on the aforementioned train. Where that happened. There's just those moments where I think the other one would be was it down in the bunker where it starts coming towards the end and it just, you see it start crawling out of that hole behind her.
She's not down there. She's in the radio station. And she doesn't know what's going on behind her. And what's his face shuts the door, and that's when she realizes.
Oh yeah. I was talking about Emily Blunt actually. I guess we can talk about the end scene when we're ready to as well. Mm-hmm. But what about you, Alice? Mm-hmm. What are some of the things you wanted to chat about?
Well, first of all, the son, just leave him. Leave him to die. He is the reason for all the bad things that have happened to them. In the entirety of the movie, if you think about it. Think about it this way, right? John Krasinski would not be dead were it not for the son, because the only reason John Krasinski has to sacrifice himself is because after he initially gets hit by the alien, the son's like, Dad! Like, he screams. Dad! And so then he's like, oh, well, now my kids are going to die, so I guess I'll die instead. So first of all, that was that. But you can forgive him. One small thing. Second, the bear trap happens. And, okay, I get it. It's probably one of the most painful experiences anyone will ever go through. However, having lived in this world for over a year now, I get the one scream. But he would not stop screaming. Like, there has to be a moment where you just grab your sleeve or, like, start biting into your arm. If Emily Blunt can experience labor without making a sound, he can experience a bear trap with making minimal sound. So that's one thing. And
Or stepping onto a nail, you know, having a nail go
exactly.
through your...
Exactly. If she's able to do that, he's able to do that. And she barely makes a sound whatsoever. And then he has one job, which is to stay with his baby brother while everyone else is out doing things. And he's like, I'm going to go on a weird journey around the warehouse thing, and like just starts exploring and leaves his baby brother, doesn't check the oxygen tank. So I for sure was like, oh my God, are they going to kill the baby in this movie? And they didn't, which I was happy with, because I was like, that's a bit too far. But he just goes exploring for no reason, and I thought maybe it would amount to something, but it literally amounted to nothing except for him to get freaked out again because he's the useless one and fall over and make a bunch of sound, which results in the entire bunker getting destroyed. And then he almost kills himself and his brother because he doesn't do the thing to let themselves out of the furnace. I'm just saying, cut the fat. Just get rid of the son. He's not worth it.
Well, I watched it, I thought... Because I had the same feelings, the exact same feelings about him, especially when he was screaming. You know, I was probably a little bit older than him when I broke my collarbone on a bike, and there wasn't a peep that came out of me. I sat up, and I was like, now it might not be the same as a bear trap, but like you said, this world, you die when you make noise. If you make your initial shock noise, fine, but he just wouldn't be quiet. So but it made me think, are they writing this character to not be liked? Because is there anyone that goes through that movie? Is there anyone who watches this movie and goes, I like that kid?
No, I don't think so.
So it has to be intentional writing. So I just started not caring because I assumed everything he was going to do was going to be plot-motivated hatred on my part.
So I think this is a good place for me to talk about the stuff I want to talk about at the end. And we can go back to other stuff as well. But mm-hmm. The end of this movie is basically a cutback between the two kids facing, you know, their demons and taking out, you know, one of these creatures together. And there is something so cool about the possibility of the sibling nature of that. The idea that there's, you know, we're talking about this kid who we don't like, who always makes mistakes, but there isn't, the movie doesn't do enough work for us to go, oh, he has evolved, he has grown, he has achieved something here, and he did it because his sister did this for him, and their bond got him to this place. Like, there's just, the movie doesn't take the pains to earn that kind of feeling that it wants right there. And so I would love for, because then the writing does make sense with the kid, because if you're purposely writing him to be inept and to have like, but what is his flaw? What is his fatal flaw? What is his hindrance that he has to overcome, and how does he overcome it? And why is he able to take that shot at the end when he's been paralyzed before and made stupid mistakes before? Like, what is his growth that gets us to that moment? I just don't think it's very clear.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I also, you know, this is what I was saying, in that it's very similar to the first one in terms of how the story plays out. Like, I genuinely think it is the exact same three-act structure, to the point where it ends exactly the same. It ends with them doing the thing with the sonic noise and then shooting the creature, and then there's like a moment of like, hmm, and then it goes... And I'm like, you can't end the sequel in the same way you ended the first one. Like, I get that this is kind of a, like, next generation taking over for the previous generation sort of thing going on. But I didn't feel it was earned. And I just kind of felt like, I was like, you can't just do the same thing. Either John Krasinski doesn't know how to end things, because I'm just saying, it was highly suspect that that's the way it decided to end. And then, yeah, I agree, where it kind of, like, the parallels were almost a bit too parallel-y. Like, the fact that both adults had their legs completely messed up by the creature, and then you had the sonic sound going, and then... Okay, so this is something that I noticed. The way that she kills the creature, the way it's cut is incorrect, because she, like, spears it, right? Because when she pulls out the pole, but when she actually goes to kill it, she does an over the... Like, mm-hmm. over the
she
shoulder
does a chop.
Type.
Yeah.
She does a chop with a pole, which, so that was one thing. But yeah, I just don't feel like, I don't know, I just can't feel like you end it the same way when it doesn't feel like it's earned it quite as much. Especially when you haven't done anything necessarily different in the way that the big climax and the big defeat happens. Like, it's the same way. The sound paralyzes them and then they shoot him. It's
yeah, she takes her device and slams it into a mic the yeah. same exact way both times.
Yeah.
And my question is, from what I remember, the whole feedback thing only happens when one of the aliens are around, because it's listening causes the colloquial I don't know how to say it,
cochlear.
Yes, yeah. Thank you. Causes the ear thingy to freak out. So at the end of the first one, this ending works really well, because now we have this way of defeating the aliens. Mm-hmm. Black. And then you fill in all the gaps yourself. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, where do they go from there? How do they get from there? This movie takes the first one and says, well, they go from there by walking to a radio station and blasting that signal out. But that only works if they have a live alien there. Or they find a way to reproduce that frequency or whatever. But then goes to black. And it's like, well, I don't really care where it goes from here. That was the difference between the first one and the second one for me. And them ending kind of in that same abrupt way is the first one I really liked. I liked the ending a lot of the first one.
Yeah.
This one, it just seems like you had said, Aaron, well, there are other people out there who haven't been suffering for a long time. They're just sitting there having a campfire and
eating some
spam.
Not
anymore, they're not.
S'mores. But like, it's kind of like, just, okay, it's done. They have it over. I don't need to go back to this place at all. I have no desire to go back to this place.
Yeah. I think the attempt there is for the next progression to be, okay, now it's being broadcast. So the first one ends with, we figured it out, and the second one ends with, okay, now it's available for others to use. My impression was that they were recording the sound and then would be able to, you know, use it whenever they wanted. But yeah, I totally get what you guys are saying.
Yeah.
Well, even if that's the case, what would the third movie be?
Yeah.
The third movie would be the fight, like the actual like war between humans and this race.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, I was wondering if this would be like an Aliens. Like going in, I was like, I wonder if there's going to be like the alien queen, like in Aliens, where there's like a bigger, badder version. Mm-hmm. And then the big bad, because I was like, they have to make it bigger some way, but then they just didn't. It was the same type of, I was like, maybe it's a hive mind or something like that, because that's generally how these things happen. It's a hive mind. But something else that, to what your point of what you were saying before, Aaron, is that, you know, in terms of the amount of time it needs for them to evolve to this moment, if you think about it, like the first movie takes place in like a day and a half, and then this one takes place in like 2 days. So it's just been a real bad week for this family, which I don't know how much development happens for a person within a week. So yeah, that was a big thing for me. Because in the first one, you're kind of like, oh yeah, it's adrenaline. It's all the adrenaline, and they're like really finding who they are. And oh, the mum was actually the main one the whole time. But then now it's shifted to the kids. But it's also just been a couple of days. So you're just kind of like, okay, so what happens when it gets to Sunday? You know?
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm supposed to say something positive. There's definitely good. It's shot really well. And the sound design is great, as much as it takes me out of it. But does this movie earn the nerd callbacks that it does? Like the, hey, do you remember this? Because it does. It has a couple of those. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, give me an example.
So when he's shopping in the prequel, or during the prequel
like the
section,
the rocket. Yeah.
And they got to show the rocket ship. There was they showed the nail again, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when she was walking down.
I think there's a couple of those, and it's like, I don't necessarily understand it, and I also don't know if that's bad. Like,
I don't think it's bad. I think that's completely understandable why creators do that kind of thing, because you know it's a shorthand for something that they've invested your time in. So like when she's walking, like I thought of the nail before they showed the nail, because they use the exact same shot of her walking down those stairs, or the same angle and look of her walking down those stairs. It's meant to evoke that thing in you is like, oh, don't step on the nail again. Don't step on the nail again. Like they're doing that on purpose. And I, so, you know, they have, you know, whatever, an hour and a half, 2 hours of work that they've done in your mind that, you know, they want to reuse some of that stuff because now it's a shorthand. You know, now they don't have to build it back up again. So it doesn't surprise me that movies do that. And I think it makes sense. But
yeah, something else I wanted to touch on. So going back to how they visit things and then never revisit things, I feel like maybe in some version of the screenplay, there was a version where Cillian Murphy ends up being the bad guy, and then they just decided to go in another direction, because there's a few setups that I feel lead to that reveal that never happens. For example, obviously the boy finds the mummified wife, and I feel like that's never visited at all. It's just like, oh, that's kind of creepy, but you're like, oh, he's like a weird sicko that's like mummified his wife. And then I really, really thought when there was like the weird fish people, like the cannibal people, I thought there was going to be this thing where like she's struggling and then it looks like he's struggling, but then he stands up and he's actually like king of the fish people. but then he wasn't, because he has that line of like, the people left aren't worth saving. But I don't think that's ever true. That's never true, which might have been the point. But I just feel like there was this, you know, besides the cannibals, but like, yeah, I don't know. That was just a whole element where I was like, was he, I feel like, especially because Cillian Murphy has been a villain before and he's really good at being a villain. So I was like, oh, maybe he's going to have been warped by the apocalypse and it's going to be like cool. And then it was just like, oh no, he's just a good guy that's a bit nuts.
Yeah, I didn't sense that at all. Okay. I, you know, the wife thing made sense to me because he talked before we saw her, he talked about what happened with her. And I just assumed, you know, he, after she died, he just left her up there to decompose and just never went up there again. You know, how do you bury someone, take care of someone in that kind of environment? Mm. So I think the movie wants his character to be ambiguous about if he's going to help them or not. Because his evolution as a character is from trust no one to, oh, maybe there are some humans that I can still trust. I think we're supposed to get a sense that he has been out there a little bit more than they have and knows that, you know, things have devolved into, you know, tribal, you know, kind of murderous, stealing kind of things like most end of the world stuff does or seems to do. Walking Dead, I'm looking at you. So yeah, I didn't pick up on that he was supposed to be like the villain. But yeah, I can see how you got there.
Yeah. I thought it might have been an interesting thing to explore.
I thought one of the most ridiculous moments of the movie was that when he hid the cochlear implant in his mouth underwater. Oh, yeah.
It's broken now, right? Like, yeah, it's like, broken.
I mean, let's just set aside how that worked and how you did that. Yeah, you just slobbered all over that thing, buddy. That can't be all that
and
good.
And he was in the water.
Yeah.
He also went in the water.
Yeah.
So.
Well, didn't he get it from the guy?
Yeah,
that's
what we're supposed to believe. Yeah.
And then while the monster's attacking him, he got it from the guy and put it in his mouth.
And then dove in, yeah.
And then dove in, never opened his mouth to let any water in, which is reasonable. I think it's reasonable. I think you guys are just nitpicking.
We had a little bit of...
just nitpicking.
We are, definitely. We had a little bit of Chekhov sign language in this movie.
Yeah, was cool.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Now I know how to say dive.
That's right. That's right.
Makes a lot of sense. American Sign Language, anyway, because Australian Sign Language is completely different. Fun fact.
It is.
We call American Sign Language ASL. What do you call Australian Sign Language?
I don't know. Stand by. I'll look it up. Something I want to know is what happened to the two kids in the closet? Like, is everyone else on the island dead? Did they just inadvertently kill every other person in this community except for those two children that were placed in the closet?
No, I think we're supposed to...
I don't think so.
No, I think
there was only one that got on.
Yeah, I think there was only one on the island, and I think we're supposed to believe that one probably took out three or four people and then chased them to the radio station, at which point they disposed of them. So,
and we had to have the drag under the door for some reason.
Yeah.
Like, oh okay.
Poor Jaimin. I'm waiting for him to have a big leading role because I really love him as an actor, as a character actor, but he keeps like showing up and I'm like, whoa! And then he's like never in anything ever again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else, guys, that you want to talk about spoiler-wise?
Yeah, it's... this is a really big one for me.
Okay, bring it on.
So they have the sand that they walk on. And I thought visually it was great to see where the sand ends, right? I thought that was a fun visual way of saying...
we're one step further than we've ever been before, Frodo.
Yeah.
Mushrooms! So I liked it. Mm. But then they just kept walking on the path instead of going into the grass on either side of it, which A, would be better on your bare feet and make less sound. So I immediately said, I'm done with this movie.
That's all it took.
It's just like, that's it. I really didn't have anything. I just wanted to share that.
Okay,
that
fair thing. Enough. Mm. Fair enough. I get
actually
it.
Something they never really play with, they only show, is the fact that like the daughter's feet are completely messed up by like when they're walking to the island, but it never affects her. Like, she still runs and walks fine. It's just she has really, 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 really red soles and ankles mm-hmm. and stuff.
I have to admit embarrassingly that I spent way too much time running an analysis in my head about how people react and walk to things, because there is so much focus on their feet. And there was only one time that I noticed that she struggled with walking, where she like took a hesitation step from stepping on something. It seemed like every other time that she had the most callous feet on the face of the planet. Mm. And like I said, their choices to walk places on what they walk on and stuff like that always just drove me crazy. But mm-hmm. I guess I was in that mood. I loved Cruella, by the way. Great movie.
Well, there you go.
So if we would have talked about Cruella, I'd have been just gushing.
Well, good. Well, good.
Not always this negative, please.
Oh, and Australian Sign Language, Phil's put it in the private chat, but it's Auslan.
Auslan.
Portmanteau.
Yeah. Auslan is a great Jesus lion. From
that's what I was gonna say.
That's what I was gonna say.
We're all gonna say it. We're all there.
Well, I think that's enough for me. Mm-hmm. Thank you for tuning into the Sif Spoil. If you haven't seen the movie, we apologize. We just totally spoiled it for you, but we did give you warning, so it's your own fault. Mm-hmm. We will be back next time we want to spoil something, and we will see you then.
Bye.